Action Park Media.
Hello, everyone. This is a really cool episode. I talked to Aaron about supporting creative nomads find their soul-aligned purpose. It's pretty cool. And not only that, but also Aaron has very kindly offered the Pretty Depressed listeners an amazing offer. So you can book a 30-minute navigation session with him for half price. And you just basically at checkout put the coupon code PRETTYDEPRESSED in. So thanks, Aaron. This is a great episode. It's Pretty Depressed with Aaron. I'm here with the beautiful Aaron Freed. Now, Aaron, you are a soul guide. For anyone who may not know what that is, would you be able to break that down for our beautiful listeners?
For sure. So I am a holistic educator and also a spiritual guide. And I support people in navigating the reality of their life, but from a deeper, you know, attunement to what they're navigating inside, you know, in their heart, in their soul, in their being. So one of the areas that I specialize in is helping people with anchoring in their legacy on earth. So that's one of the biggest things that people come to me for is, you know, they have this sense that there's more that they can contribute into this beautiful life. And they want to contribute it, but sometimes, you know, we're human, we get dispirited, we lose touch with that miracle that's inside us, you know, deep in our heart. We know there's something more there, something that makes us special. And that's where I come in. I help people to tap into what's in their own heart that's special within them. And I help them to see it for the miracle that it is. And in the process, hopefully, to inspirit them back to themselves. I use the word inspirit instead of inspire.
Yeah.
Because inspiration is, you know, like a one-hit wonder. But if you can inspire, which means revive the light of connection that they have within themselves, then it's been my experience over the last 12 years that people just light on fire in terms of their purpose, why they're here, and really come into a very pristine direction in their life that deeply aligns with, you know, what they were born for.
I have a question on that, and sorry if this derails us, but as you're saying that, sure, the quote comes to mind, you know, don't dull your sparkle for anyone else, or don't let anyone else dim your light.
Right.
Is there a little bit of resistance with people? Do you think that they are anxious or nervous or worried about judgment about really following what sets them alight as out of fear that it would come across as ego or arrogance? Like, how often are you seeing that kind of behavior that people are almost limiting their own journey just because of social norms or constructs, you know, or being treated as ego? Do you come across that a lot?
Right. Well, I appreciate your bringing that up, Kim. Resistance is, you know, so endemic to our existence as souls having a human experience. It's been my experience that resistance comes in many different forms. You touched on social programming. There's also religious indoctrination. There's trauma. There's conditioning since childhood. To me, when we actually unravel and unearth each of these, you know, pieces deeper, what we see is that there's actually something, a deeper soul level, let's call it a block, just some sort of density that does make it hard for them to shine their light, that makes it hard for all of us. And part of my discovery has been that often manifests at some point for the first time in childhood and plants a seed that kind of creates an adaptation in a person that changes how they function in a way that's, let's call it a dysfunction. It's like we adapt to something dysfunctional that's not actually how we were created to express ourselves in the world. And then the challenge that comes from that is that's when you see people coming into what I and my teacher call a soul misagreement, meaning we come into this life with an agreement. I'm here to achieve X, Y, Z. I'm going to reconcile these different issues that I have. Issues are part of the agreement. There's no problem having issues. But the mistake is when we actually start misagreeing with the divine path that was destined for us. Some of that is the social component. Some of that is also our own internal misalignment. And then some of that are ledgers that we carry in soul that tend to darken us energetically and vibrationally to make it really hard to express. So the work that I do is, you know, kind of unwinding what's really underneath that resistance. I'd love to share a story with you about that.
Yeah, I'm eating up everything you're saying. So sorry, I'm very visual. I'm like nodding and agreeing. Like, yeah. No, share away, please.
Great. Thank you, Kim. Well, a few years ago, I found myself at a meditation retreat in the desert of Joshua Tree. You live in California, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm familiar with
awesome.
It.
Awesome. So yeah, I was in Joshua Tree and it was about 6 years that I was in a PhD program, just really struggling to complete the PhD. So I did all but dissertation. I was able to get very far in the program for years, but it's like I couldn't. Sorry about that. Okay. I thought that was closed. I couldn't actually, get past that and complete the dissertation. So I found myself at this meditation retreat in the desert, and I just really, really deeply tuned in and set the intention that let me make a decision on this for once and for all. Either I'm in or I'm out, but that's it. I'm committed to actually discovering whether this is the path for me. At the same time, I was having this weird experience somatically that I had this fear of death that kept coming up for me. And it was just crazy and, you know, relates to what we were talking about. But something primal within me, primordial even, that just, you know, had this terror of death. So I set the intention, let me release the fear of death and let me get clarity on my PhD. And went through a certain, let's say, visionary revelation, I came to realize that I came to unpack the source of that fear, which actually had to do with my family. My ancestors were in the Holocaust. So I'm Jewish by blood. And what I came to realize was that what was actually holding me back was generational and was ancestral. And somehow I was able to truly make peace with that deep, deep in my heart and my being. And when I let go of the fear of death, I heard the voice of my soul speak and it said, now it's time to kill your PhD.
Wow.
And as long as I couldn't make peace with that, which in that within me, which was afraid of death, I couldn't let die the thing that was never aligned all along. But I went for years pretending, maintaining the illusion of the academic because I had been an academic my entire life. And so I just went along with it. But you know what? It was not coming from a true place of alignment with why I'm really here. Why I've come to realize I'm truly here. It was somewhat aligned. It called upon my gifts, but it was actually a misdirection and a deviation from my true path.
Can I ask a question on that? Assuming that you are living in alignment.
Exactly.
If I take that as an assumption, how does it feel differently? Just so people can do a bit of a temperature check at home, like on how they're kind of living. Like, does it feel, when you are in alignment with what you're supposed to be doing, I still imagine there is tension and I still imagine there's conflict and struggles. Would you be able to articulate how it feels differently? And that's coming from a mind of mine that can justify anything as a good or bad, you know, like whatever
right.
I want to spin on something.
Right.
Yeah. Could you articulate what it should feel like?
That's a great question, Kim. And I think it's something that we should all be asking, because it's all too easy to just kind of, you know, fall into the wrong path and convince ourselves that it's the right path. I saw that a lot, with all due respect. I saw that a lot while I was living in California for 4 years.
I bet.
I saw a lot of that. Okay. So what's the experience? What's different? Well, for me, how I experience it is there's a deeper driving awareness of not only my purpose, but actually who I am at the soul level, not the ego character. And differentiating is very difficult, of course. But a few years ago, I had the revelation of my purpose. And again, it was during a meditation, and I was, it's like I was being presented with the image of a lot of really significant people in my life, like people who I absolutely love and adore. And I was being shown their soul purpose, just straight up, like what is epic about them. And then to contrast it, I was shown their soul dilemma. And the soul dilemma is like a person is inclined to go their whole life like a broken record, just trying and trying and trying and trying to make something happen. You ever see like an ant that is trying to like crawl off a piece of wood? You know, you got a fire going and there's an ant on the piece of wood. It's trying to crawl off the wood, but it keeps falling and then it keeps backing off again and again and again. And so it'll just keep on doing this ad nauseum. So that's kind of the soul dilemma. It's that there's something that we would repeat for the rest of our life, like that helpless ant, and not know how to actually get into a new state of being. So the experience when it turns on is when there's what I call innerspiration. Again, not inspiration, but innerspiration, like the light of our own spirit being consciously revived from within. There's a sense of aliveness, a sense of we're living in touch with our own creative fires. We desire to create. That's the highest desire, more than anything else, more than desiring luxuries and cars and homes and life partners. We want first and foremost to create. The rest comes as a byproduct of just us emanating our creativity. So that creative fire that lights us up, and that deep driving sense that this is why we're here, and we're inspired by that very thing. Like every time I connect with another soul, I draw inspiration from the remembrance that I'm here to help you to behold the miracle of who you are. Because I know that you're a miracle, and I know that every being is a miracle, and I know it's my distinct reason for being to help you to see that miracle or help another to see it.
How easy is it for you to, and this is just a curious question about the work that you do.
Sure.
I feel like it's a human trait that it's much easier for us to see the blockages or see the behavior in others than it is ourselves.
Right.
Do you have
right.
that similar struggle? Like,
yeah.
and I just wonder, like with the work, you do, like the time it takes to kind of figure someone out or figure what it is must get quicker because you're exercising this muscle and it's your gift.
Right.
How does that affect your own zooming out of your own experience? Are you pretty good at
right.
it?
Right. That's a great question. I would say that there have been levels at which there were aspects of myself that were in dark, that I couldn't see, that I didn't know were there. And I certainly did need a mentor and a teacher to guide me and to show me and to put those things, kind of give me the reflections that would show me just, you know, right in my face that, you know, this is where you're getting yourself into trouble. This is where you're falling out of alignment. This is where you're deviating. So 100%, I too have run into similar, that it's easier to witness the other than it is ourself. And that's exactly the challenge I feel, and why I'm so adamant about supporting people to behold their own miracle. Because I think that we have collectively fallen into a rut of what I would call significance living. I mean, here we are, we're on the Pretty Depressed podcast. And I think the reality of most human beings is we have a lot of reasons right now collectively to be depressed and to be dispirited, you know? And it's too easy to get defeated. So I feel more than ever it's easy for us to fall into this default where we lose touch with our own significance, our own meaning, our own purpose. And that's what we need to turn around, I believe.
Yeah. Do you feel hopeful or concerned about life? And do you struggle with that a little bit? And I say
with
that.
Because
I guess like, there's a lot, especially in New Zealand media at the moment, about like AI taking jobs, a lot of despondentness with the next generation coming up. Like Their biggest concern in New Zealand, or what youth sleep out over, is climate change. But yet there's not a lot, there's action, but not a lot of action. But it's like you kind of have this generation going up that are like, the planet's going to die. Like my job that I'm in university for doesn't even fucking exist. Like there's a different energy coming up. Along with that, they're inspired, they're creative, they're great. But yeah, do you feel hopeful or concerned? Like, where are you at on the kind of pendulum?
Yeah. Well, I have to remind myself, because I tend to be a very, let's say, uplifted person by nature, but life has very much enreeled me over the last few years, Kim. And so I have to remind myself that there are certain things that, you know, are only, let's say, little seedlings of issues now that, you know, for our kids' generation is going to be a real problem. Like I heard about through a friend that on the website freelance.com, there was a job that was for someone who specializes in AI and also for sacred Hindu texts, because they want to use AI to generate a book, to auto-write a book about the Ramayana, which is a sacred text in Hinduism. Yeah. And I was like, that's when you know something's really twisted, when we're now employing AI to recreate something that was originally there that's sacred. Mm-hmm. So I definitely feel you. There's a lot of cause for concern. And at the same time, I would say that I'm really hopeful because we're waking up. We are freaking waking up to a lot of the lies that we have been told. And I think a lot of us are no longer satisfied pretending, you know, and acting like we could go on living, you know, all the illusions and the bullshit that we have. Like all it takes is just a crude awakening through, you know, a health issue within ourselves, which I have faced, through near-death experiences of ourselves or actual death experiences of loved ones, to just bring us back to our heart and say, how do I make this moment count?
Mm-hmm. I love that. I feel very optimistic. I'm like, we've gone through, life is cyclical. We'll figure it out. We'll, you know, I feel very hopeful for a depressed person. I feel very hopeful. I want to
tell you. Let me ask you, you identify, and I'm really curious. You identify as a depressed person.
I identify as, I'm a very bubbly, bright, delightful human. I have, a brain that tends to pull towards negative self-talk and always has. And I think whilst I'm I think it's duality. And I think that's why I really struggled with my diagnosis, because I feel like I felt fraudulent. I'm like, how am I depressed? Yet I have this beautiful life and I'm happy a lot.
Right. But
what I struggle with is pretty severe negative self-talk, perfectionism, mm-hmm. high functioning anxiety, people pleasing. And so whilst all of that blends in to make me a very empathetic and delightful human, I think in moments alone, I've always really struggled with judgment, self-limitations, because I don't believe anything I actually do is good enough, a little bit of imposter syndrome. And it was really left unchecked a lot of my life until I found myself in quite a severe depression, and usually can shower and, pick it up, and just was showering a lot and nothing was changing. And I just kind of hit this place where I had a lot of suicidal tendencies. I felt burdensome. It was just all the things that we're talking about were just not, I didn't have the knowledge or the dialogue or the verbiage to kind of understand what was going on because of that high functioning element. I could still keep going.
But,
So I think what I'm learning is, I define myself as someone whose brain will often have a narrative which is not helpful. And so learning to kind of cross-check every thought, which is really quite exhausting. And
I know what you mean.
When I'm tired, I can let a lot of that thought through and I end up just ruining good things for myself entirely up here. So a big part of doing this podcast and speaking to people like you is holding space for the conversation and also just wanting to learn and be curious and not feel like it's part of me that I'm hiding and trying to include it in
the
narrative moving forward. And and I think why I asked you that question is I also on this journey, I thought I had all my shit figured out and I'm like, this is the dark trauma box, but then realizing that there's a room and there's more boxes that I haven't even unpacked yet or don't even know what's in.
Yeah.
I found that quite overwhelming as well, that the work will always be there and it will have to keep going. I just wanted to
fix. Right.
So, sorry, I talked.
I hear you. I really appreciate all that you're sharing. And it's surely what makes you so relatable to others is that you're being so, I don't know why that keeps happening, that you're being so, sincere, and real about your own journey. And the truth is we're all human and we do suffer that to different levels. And what you're describing, I've experienced within myself, and I'd call it like an existential angst that I find myself cycling through.
Yeah.
And, sometimes it surprises me. Sometimes it's just there in an unexpected moment. Oh, there it is again.
Yeah.
But what I have realized, my own discovery about that, is that it's more than the psychological level and the neurological, and it's more than the quote-unquote traumas that we have. I would say behind that is what I would call spiritual infiltration. So what is it that motivates a person to take their own life? I've had suicidal thoughts. I know how that goes. And it's not a comfortable place to be in. But I think the first step that we need to all recognize is those voices within, though it may seem that it's us, I would offer, I gently invite the possibility that no matter how much they sound like you, that those voices aren't you, that there's actually something that's coming in and, say, taking control of the ship. Some people call it wetiko. Some people call it the anti-self. Some people just call it your shadow and all this. But to me, it's more than the pathology. It's actually what we hold in darkness that we haven't reconciled with. We easily get twisted and polarized and afflicted through those issues that we have in soul. So I remember last year, I had a moment when I was at the beach where years, I'm talking over a decade of hearing negative voices in my head. I had a moment where everything was silenced. There was nothing jumping in and saying anything negative. And what's interesting is that happened after I had returned from a spiritual retreat with my teacher and had spent a month at energy clearing, let's say, karmic soul level ledgers of stuff that was my own that I had been carrying and burdened by for a long time. I know that something like that, it sounds like another world. And it just seems like, okay, so how do you actually get at this stuff? Mm-hmm. I'm just curious what you think about this possibility that those voices are not actually you. What has been your experience in that?
Yeah, I think it's totally entirely possible. I think, you know, I went through a lot of childhood creating a false narrative of like, my dad didn't want me, didn't want anything to do with me, when really he just was
an
adult in a different situation. But I filled the blanks with feeling not good enough to stick around for, even in my like most innocent form of being a baby. Like I created, or like right. society made, or whatever, I imprinted that narrative on my childhood, you know, like a lot of memories, right. Being like not picked, like no one picked me up after school, or like a lot of abandonment stuff. Like, so I kind of created this through line of like, I'm not good enough to be loved or not, which, you know, now perhaps growing up in a different time, I would have had a different verbiage and could have squashed that. But I really went through almost 30 years of life believing that to be like at its core, like you have to be perfect, you have to achieve just to like help people stick around. And so I've had this strength on a lot of my career and achievement and validation. Yeah. Just I felt even in my purest form, it wasn't enough. And so I think that's probably the narrative. And I think that's where these voices come in. It's like a self-sabotage of like, even when things are going good, it's like, well, check yourself, because here's all these other things. So I feel like that's its birthplace, along with peppered with other experiences. But
yeah,
that sort of feels like where it may be generated from.
I really agree with you on that. I do feel that a lot of these negative narratives originate from patterns of self-sabotage that are playing out within us. And, you know, the highest form of realization is when we realize that to a level we are at cause, you know, and I don't mean that in a self-blame way, but I mean it in a very empowered way, that we have that all the issues that I'm facing in my life today that are either one happening because I agreed to that at a deep level in my soul. I agreed to that in order to reconcile something along my journey as a spirit. That's one possibility. There are some things that happen to us that are, let's say, not agreed, but that there's some, let's say, residue within that calls for that. You know, some, like you said, these, what I'm calling patterns of self-sabotage that will call again for the things that are going to set our soul in trouble. Mm-hmm. So with that said, I'm really curious, you know, before this call, I was really wondering, what do you think is the biggest struggle that your viewers and listeners run into? I would really like if we could dialogue about their experience and just kind of empathize with that a little bit and see what discoveries come.
Yeah, I think there's two parts. I think definitely to start with, and, you know, New Zealand, which is so progressive in so many ways, I think dialogue around mental health, and I think it's come a long way in the past sort of 3.5 years I've been doing this, but this sort of one of the first places to hold space for anything outside of, and I don't mean that in an arrogant way, just in terms of alternative care outside of cognitive behavioral therapy. So outside of therapy and stuff. So I think there's one part of curiosity of speaking to, you know, we're a country of like 4 or 5 million people. There's not as much diversity in care or dialogue or conversation.
Right, right.
Paired with, you know, we're still coming a little, we're a little behind in sort of that toxic masculinity and also like crazy woman kind of labeling. So we're getting there. So that's one part. And then I think the second part is a lot of my engaged listeners are like me and run in that high functioning space. Whereas like depression in a lot of media is presented as can't get out of bed or grumpy. And so understanding and realizing that there can be this, you can still show up, you can still present, but having this kind of deep seated cloud and not really knowing what it is and sort of still being able to function simultaneously. I think that's more where my audience is really thriving, because they see we're sharing a shared experience of wanting to go through life and thrive, but feeling like we've got our own blockages and our own shit that we have to kind of acknowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's an extraordinary thing to even acknowledge that. And I just want to commend you and the listeners for the maturity that it takes to just get real with self and to acknowledge that even when things look and feel great on the outside, that a part of us inwardly is struggling. Mm-hmm. And to not be ashamed of that. I experience struggle all the time in my life. And it's not bad to struggle. I really believe that there's a difference between the struggles of our ego and the struggles of our spirit. And the struggles of our ego tend to create and call for all sorts of disasters in our life. But in my way of being, I struggle very often with a lot of different issues that I am always in a process of navigating. And that's we're here to reconcile with ourselves, like really to get real with what we hold inside. And struggle is actually part of the working it out. And I just want to offer that perspective that if there's something that any of the viewers or listeners are struggling, how do you know that you're not actually in the process of resolving something that has been afflicting you for, who knows, maybe eons, maybe not just since childhood, but lifetimes?
Yeah. That's so good. I feel like time just got sucked up with you. I just looked at the time. I'm so sorry. Can I ask one more question? Because it's a question that I ask all my guests, and I'm really curious what yours might look like. No pressure. I ask my guests what their brain looks like, whether it's a scene or a picture, or what for you does it look like up there?
Wow. It's definitely like a cacophony of sound and visual. I have, and here's the quick answer, I have a way of thinking that's both highly analytical, but that's constantly synthesizing the totality of everything I've ever seen. And I'm meta aware of that as that's happening. So a lot of times it shows up as I'm writing, where I go on this whole journey and consciousness before I even finish the paragraph. So if you read an article from me, it's like sometimes the journey of even writing that article in order for it to be true was a wild journey. So I would say somewhere along the lines of like a big oak tree in a forest that is kind of like wrapped in countless vines that are trying to kind of like choke it out, but that oak tree has just been there like forever. Big, powerful, but it sometimes it also, you know, needs a little help to breathe.
Wow, that's cool. When you were describing your thought process, I'm like, oh, it's going to be space and stars and da-da-da and zoomed out. But I like the oak tree. Mm. That's beautiful.
No, that's it used to cool. be space and stars. I used to be more celestialized and spiritualized in the past. But my own journey has really anchored me in the reality of my life, You know, so I've been in a process of coming back down and grounding all the inspiration back to the earth. You know, that's, we come from it, we're returning to it. So
that's so cool. That's a beautiful brain. I like your brain.
Thanks. And you, what's your answer?
Oh, my listeners will eye roll. It's like,
I've heard it before.
Well, because it's so silly. It's like a frizzy-haired woman with glasses, like staring at camera, surrounded by like bulging filing cabinets. And you've just asked her to like go and get something. And she knows it's in here somewhere, but she just is like so fret. Like she knows she has all the things she needs, but it's just not like.
It doesn't compute. The motor function isn't there to actually.
It's like, I don't know everything. I know I can. And it's all this, it's just the pressure and the time pressure. And it's just crazy. Yeah. And someone was like, why don't you give her like a cup of tea and like a laptop or something? And we'll sort this shit out. I'm like, yeah, that would be great. Thank you so much.
I'm getting this picture of the librarian.
Yeah. That's
exactly. Seems like a librarian who's a little confused because it used to be how'd they call it? The card catalog before it got digitized.
Yep.
Yeah. The Dewey Decimal System. It's like, you're trying to change from Dewey Decimal to, yep. Okay, we got to computerize this now.
Totally. She's like, needs an upgrade, but like thought the old way was working and just resisted the upgrade for so long. Like it's that whole journey and narrative, but, recently I interviewed someone and they said that theirs was like a garden and some stuff in the garden is dead and some of it's blossoming. And it was just like this idea of the stuff that's dead will fertilize and something will grow again. And, you know, in the barren parts of the garden, she knows she's planted seeds, so they will eventually sprout. You just need patience. And I was like, oh, it's fucking great brain. I'd love to go.
Like, yeah, wouldn't it be great if we all had that?
I was like, oh, that's fucking awesome brain. But no, I love yours. Thank you so much. Now, I not to put words in your mouth, but you did say you wanted to offer us Kiwis a little like tidbit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so for any viewers and listeners of the Pretty Depressed podcast, it would be my absolute joy to support you. And so I'm offering for a limited time what I'm calling Pretty Inspired. And it's an opportunity to have a deep dive conversation about what your sacred purpose is on earth, what you're here to create, what you're ready to birth in your life, and to really get you some breakthrough revelations that are going to turn things on and just set your heart on fire so that you could really connect in again with what brings you life. So for a limited time, I'm offering 30-minute sessions for 50, I'm going to say US dollars because you're a New Zealand podcast.
Yeah, that's so, fine.
Yeah,
that's
so cool. I'll share the links.
That's so achievable for people too. That's very generous of you. Thank you.
For sure. And I love having these conversations with people. And believe me, in just 15, 20 minutes, you'd be mind blown how much we could actually unearth what is underneath your deeper driving reason for being, you know? And one of the things I like to help people to see is how it's juxtaposed to their own soul dilemma. So it's always a contrast. It's not like, oh yes, I'm here for this and I'm just, you know, going to live my hero's journey now. It's like, yeah, but there's also some dilemma that we have as a soul that plays into the resistance that makes it hard to actually manifest that in a deeply aligned way that gives us joy, gives us true alegria. So let's see if we could help your listeners find that.
I love that. Thank you. And for anyone who's listening, I'll make sure I put a link in the description and also on
Sure. Facebook. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'll share my link tree.
Thank you, Aaron. You're a dream.
And you're a miracle, my dear. A true miracle, Kim. Thank you so much. And thank you for the gift that you offer for everybody, you know, and just normalizing these conversations is, and with such vulnerability and sincerity, you know, it's really medicine. And yeah, I'm honored to be a part of it. So thank you for having me.